Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I am sitting next to Dee Dee and zooming in with Rosalie. Say hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, guys.
So Dee Dee's the head of our HVAC department, and Rosalie is our producer and co-host. So, and she's zooming in. Well, we're not zooming anymore. We're FM, Riverside FM nowing, right? Nowing? FM, Riversiding? I don't know. Is it? I mean, zooming has become a verb, right? Is it a verb or a noun? A noun would be, it's a verb. Anyway, like Googling, right? Like Google. Anyway, yeah. I did graduate high school, but that's as far as I got. So, yeah. And I managed to get most of my English credits from a program called Urban Pioneers, which was an outdoor program in San Francisco where we went backpacking in the Sierras. Hence why I moved up to the Sierras, because I love the outdoors. And I got my English and my algebra through that. And I did no algebra or no English. I learned how to use the system, my education system. Wonderful.
Wow.
San Francisco Unified School District let me get away with a bunch of stuff. But anyway, side note. Verb nouns, region.
I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start.
So yeah, this is the show DIY Do's and Don'ts, but we're here to talk a little bit. So Dee Dee is head of our HVAC department. So I thought I'd bring her in because we're going to be talking about heat exchangers and some of the things that we found. We found one
two days ago
that was pretty scary. And we'll just kind of dive into that a little bit. So I'll tell you a little, kind of go back a little bit. You know, people are probably going, what the heck is a heat exchanger? Well, a heat exchanger is the thing inside of a gas furnace that contains the byproducts combustion. So we burn fuel, whether it be propane or natural gas, and it causes, it forms a fire, which produces heat, but we want to make sure those byproducts are contained and separate from the indoor house air, because those byproducts combustion can contain carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, water vapor, and a bunch of other little minor things. But the carbon monoxide is the key one that we want to make sure we keep out of the house, because that'll put you to sleep and you might not wake up. So it'll literally asphyxiate you. So that's one of the things that we do when we go in and do our safety inspections on furnaces, our yearly safety inspection on furnaces. And I want to stress that you want to have your furnace and AC checked yearly, because things like this do occur. And sometimes they can happen pretty rapidly without you even knowing it. And what happens is that container of the byproducts combustion and the fire, old school, like when I first started, I was working on going back 30, 40 years, I was working on furnaces that literally just had a box inside. They were gravity furnaces in San Francisco, and it literally just had a square box with a chimney that came out of the top of it that went straight up. They were like, maybe 30% efficient. So for every dollar of fuel that you put into it, you maybe got about 30 cents of heat coming out, and the 70 cents would go up the chimney. Now we're running minimum of 80%, and most of our installs are more like 95%+. So for every dollar you put into fuel, you're getting about a 95 cents to 98 cents of heat coming out of that unit. They're a lot more sophisticated now. They, unfortunately, one of the problems that we see when things become more sophisticated, things tend to break a little quicker. But because of the efficiencies, it makes sense, because fuel is so expensive. I don't know if anybody's looked at their PG&E bill lately, or their propane bill lately. It's pretty outrageous. I know I have, and I don't like looking at it. We've got a few properties, and oh my gosh, some of them are, $500-$600, right? So anyway, I'm going to let Dee Dee kind of take over on this and kind of inform you a little bit about what we find on these inspections and what is entailed for us to do these inspections. What do we actually do?
So let me just start out with...
Oh, wait. Rosalie wants to say something. Sorry.
I
I mean, this is local Grass Valley AM radio, so don't expect much from us.
No, I mean, that's, you know, I don't mind like backing out and just being like, hey, have it. Because you know how I feel about being recorded in general. But Dee Dee, I was going to ask you just to kind of make this before you dive in. And I won't put you on the spot with anything you don't already know. That's what I do to you when we're not on air. So you reached out and said, oh my gosh, like you won't believe what happened. We talked a little bit before we shared a little bit of the story on social media, just, you know, but I just was wondering, having lived in Nevada County and at one point going to turn my heater on and getting nothing, like it there was power at the unit and the thermostat wasn't broken. Is this when I would make an assumption, maybe when I turn on the furnace and nothing happens, that I might have a cracked heat exchanger? Or how did you figure out that this was something to look for? Or
so it's something that we check on every furnace, no matter what the call is, you know, whether it's just a safety inspection. This happened to be a no heat call, which can be a bajillion different things, but we always check the heat exchanger once we get the furnace up and running to make sure it's safe.
And I want to interject really quick with this. Why do we always check the heat exchanger? Because I know in my past experience of doing this, I've been doing this for a long time, we didn't always do that. And we would fix furnaces that had cracked heat exchangers, and we would charge the customer to fix the cracked heat exchanger. It's kind of like, I'm trying to bring an analogy. What would it be like? I mean, you're literally putting money towards something that should be basically either the heat exchanger needs to be replaced or the whole unit needs to be thrown into the recycling heap. You should be spending money on this thing. It's dangerous. I mean, it could literally kill you. So, I mean, what would be an analogy of that? Like, I want to say like changing the brakes on a car that the engine's blown, you know, something like that. Why would you change the brakes on a car that where the engine's blown? You got to replace the engine, right? Same sort of thing. It's one of those things where, you know, a lot of, unfortunately, I can't say that all companies, I don't want to pull anybody under, throw anybody under the bus, but I know of quite a few companies that don't check for a cracked heat exchanger on a no heat call. And some of them don't even check it on their, so-called tune-ups or safety inspections. That's one thing that we really drive hard on our technicians to always check it. Because yeah, we don't want to have that liability, but also I think it's a disservice to our customers for not to check it, you know. But anyways, ongoing with that. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
That's okay. So it was a no heat call. Our technician went out, went through our process of, you know, elimination as to what was going on with the furnace. And once he was able to get the furnace running, immediately could see, because the furnace was open at that point, that there were some telltale signs that something was going on with the heat exchanger. And so he did all the testing that we do, carbon monoxide tests. We have two different types of pieces of equipment that test for carbon monoxide within the home. Both those sensors went off. And then we also do a smoke test and a visual test. And what was happening, why the furnace went off, was it was having flame roll out because the heat exchanger was cracked. Actually, more than cracked, it had a golf ball size hole in it.
It was huge.
And so he immediately shut it down and called me and said, this is what we have going on. So once I verified all the testing, we gave the homeowner the option to replace the heat exchanger or replace the whole unit. In this particular instance, the unit was almost 20 years old and not worth really replacing just that one piece, because there's a lot of other things that can fail down the road. So the customer decided to replace it. And once we got the old unit out and we could actually see down into the heat exchanger from the top, you could see the golf ball size hole. And then there were two other holes that had started and a crack along one of the weld seams of the heat exchanger. So how these customers are alive, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know how they.
Well, let's be clear on this too. So, you know, a couple of things I want to kind of go back on that. Yeah. Not all, when you burn fuel, not all fuel, all burning fuel is going to produce carbon monoxide, and there's going to be different levels depending on the efficiency of combustion. Like we go through when we do an installation, our technicians are instructed to test for thorough combustion. So there's going to be very little carbon monoxide. So we can reap as much heat from that burning fuel as we can. The less efficient, you know, if you get candling, like a yellow fire is, you know, is dropping off a lot of carbon monoxide. If you get a nice tight blue flame, you may not get any carbon monoxide. But so they may had a really good efficient running. Somebody may have actually done something there and done it. The other thing I wanted to go back on is this carbon monoxide detectors, because the first thing I'm thinking when you say we came in and checked with our carbon monoxide detectors is, well, why didn't the homeowner's carbon monoxide detectors go off? And I'm sure a couple people out there that are listening to the show probably thought the same thing. One of the things is the detectors that that are installed in homes, I can't even remember what amount they detect, but it is, it's on, high. It's really high, and it's at that level where it's deadly. I mean, it's like if your carbon monoxide detector is going off, it says right on there, don't reset it. Evacuate the house and call 911. Get the fire department out to check it. And you know, I've been guilty of that myself, where I'll just go in and unplug it and plug it back in. Don't unplug it, plug it back in. It's probably doing it. Just be safe. I know I'm old school, right? We were just talking about boomers. I'm almost a boomer, but I just missed it. You should really evacuate the house and have the fire department come in and determine that it's safe. But the detectors that we have, you know, it's not a $49 detector. I mean, the detectors that we have, the ones that our guys wear on their persons to make sure that they're not in a dangerous situation, it detects a much lower level of carbon monoxide. And those things, those are relatively inexpensive, but they're like $250. And they only last us about a year. We got to replace them about every year. And then our higher tech ones, the ones that we use for testing equipment, they're more like the $500 to $1,000 range. So they're much more sensitive to the amount of carbon monoxide that's detected in the air. The PPM level on that, we can detect 0.001. I mean, it's really down to a point where it's, you know, a thousandth of a percentage or a thousandth of a part per million, compared to the a normal one where they're detecting parts per million, not percentages of parts per million. So it's a much different piece of equipment. I just wanted to get that straight.
Yeah. And, you know, when we test equipment, we want the equipment to read zero. So in her case, when he called me, it was at 36 and climbing.
Oh, geez.
And 250, you're pretty much dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, at 170, you can pretty much be asleep. It can put you to sleep. So it's the unfortunate thing is, which now this has changed since we were there, the homeowner did not have any carbon monoxide detectors in the home. So that has since changed. She had those installed, as well as we replaced the furnace. So, you know, somebody was watching over that family. That's all I can say. No carbon monoxide detectors in the home, and it was spewing carbon monoxide into the house. So... and we do, you know, tune-ups all year round, and we check heat exchangers, whether it's 120 degrees outside or 2 degrees outside. I mean, we always, always check heat exchangers. It can kill you.
Yeah, so I'm doing a quick Google search because that's what I do, right? And I have a little time when I've got somebody here helping me. You know, how much is too much? 50 ppm is occupational health and safety limit. That's a lot. some things, you know, what is carbon monoxide poisoning? Carbon monoxide poisoning is a colorless, odorless, tasteless, deadly gas. And that's one thing I really want to point out. You can't smell this stuff. Some people, we've had calls like, I think I smell carbon monoxide. No, you're smelling aldehydes. You're smelling the byproducts of combustion. You're not smelling the carbon monoxide itself. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. Carbon monoxide is slightly lighter than air and quickly spreads throughout an entire house. What produces carbon monoxide? Anytime you burn anything can produce carbon monoxide, whether that's wood, gas, oil, whatever you happen to be burning, it can produce anything, rubber, it can produce carbon monoxide, right? What are the symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning? Carbon monoxide symptoms mimic the flu. And we've had this situation where we've had customers that have have, once we fixed something, they're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I don't have headaches, fatigue, nausea, dizziness, confusion, irritability. Those are those kind of things. Like, you may just not feel great and not know why, but you know, when you leave the house and you suddenly feel better, when you go outside, you suddenly feel better, you might be getting carbon monoxide poisoning. It's one of those things where, you know, you don't really know it's happening because it can be very subtle, right? You just chalk it off to I'm just, you know, it's this time of year, I'm, you know, a little headachy. It's just probably just I'm fighting a bug, right? But it could be carbon monoxide poisoning. So, you know, I want to stress this. If you have any appliance inside your house that burns natural gas or wood, really, really, really get a carbon monoxide detector in your house. Have multiples. By code, you're required to have one now outside of every bedroom and on every floor, right? So if you've got the bedrooms are upstairs, you got to have one downstairs just in the general living area, and then outside of each door of every bedroom. So yeah, as Rosalie's looking around like, do I have a carbon monoxide detector? You live in an apartment building. They should theoretically have it because you're a landlord's supposed to provide these things. So yeah, if you're a renter, if some of our audience may be renters and you don't have a carbon monoxide detector, ring up your landlord. They should put one in. I know I own some property and we make sure there's carbon monoxide detectors in the house because we don't want anybody falling asleep. We could be liable for that. Well, I won't get into that.
Can I jump in?
Please, because I'm going to read some more.
Also, we had another customer a few years ago who, again, had a cracked heat exchanger. She had called, we did not know her at this time. She called in another company. They just told her furnace was old and she needed to replace it. And then she used it two more days and ended up calling us out there. And the night before we got there, after she'd made her appointment with us, she went to take a nap on our couch, and her carbon monoxide detector did go off. Thankfully, she called the fire department. Fire department came out. Her levels were up towards 300, and she had been having some neurological issues. And once she went to her doctor the next day to get checked out, because she'd been exposed, he felt that some of the neurological issues she was having was because she was slowly poisoning herself every day for who knows how long that heat exchanger had been cracked. And that's also something important to know, is that your alarm may not go off, but you still could be having exposure to carbon monoxide on smaller amounts, and it's causing issues for your health. So even though, you know, you don't want any carbon monoxide, if you had a small crack, your furnace may run without tripping any sensors or safety switches, and you're just poisoning yourself slowly.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, people say, well, how do cracks happen? Maintenance is a huge thing. Not changing your filters, letting excess heat build up back at the unit. Closing registers. People think that if you close registers in rooms, you don't go in, your kids are off at college, so you close the registers off in their bedrooms, that you're saving money. You're using the same amount of fuel. You're spending the same amount of money to run your system, whether or not all the registers are open or not, and all you're doing is causing back pressure to your unit and damage. So all your registers need to be open, and you change your filters often. You know, if you're doing,
can't stress that. We stress that pretty much every other show. Change your filters, change your filters, change your filters. It will extend the life of your system. You'll save money on your heating. You'll save money on your cooling, and you're going to make your equipment last longer. And you potentially could save yourself from carbon monoxide poisoning.
And it's healthier for you. I mean, you're just, you know, you're, once a filter gets clogged anyway, I mean, you're just recirculating that dust and, you know, grime through your house. So if you're doing like the inexpensive filters, I tell people once a month. I mean, they generally run $5 to $8 depending on where you buy them. That's an inexpensive expense to, you know, for the health of you and your equipment.
Yeah.
Can I just say real quick, I'm going to make a big point of putting this on our social media about the registers being open, because maybe it's my age, but honestly, I hear this all the time. I mean, I know people that do it all the time. They close the register because they don't want to heat an empty room. And when you're saying about the load on the system, I was like, I mean, I can almost visualize like all this pressure building up. So yeah. No idea.
Because the air goes through the ductwork, it hits the bottom of the register that isn't open, and now it has to go somewhere. So now it's being pushed back into the system. So it's a huge, huge issue. And if you're sitting there going, oh my God, you know, I'm alone in that, you're not. I, without exaggerating, one in every three houses I go into has a minimum of 20% of their registers closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just don't know. They literally think they're just saving money and they're not.
I think maybe it's because I grew up in a really big house and my dad was a cheapskate about a lot of things and was definitely in charge of the thermostat. But I remember like when my brother moved out, all the vents in his room, and my dad was a building contractor, like should know stuff, you know?
We didn't. I mean, I'm learning all this stuff in my 40s and 50s, right? I'm just going to go back to what does a carbon monoxide detector detect? So I've been frantically Googling here because I couldn't remember all the real numbers. So the CO alarm will sound if the sensor detects a buildup of carbon monoxide in your home, usually before you start sensing symptoms, usually with a low level of 50 parts per million, which is still pretty high. It may take up to 8 hours for the alarm to go off. Higher levels of carbon monoxide of over 150 parts per million can trigger an alarm within minutes. So it will take a while at those lower levels. But if you go back to this one, if you have a PPM reading of 9 parts per million for more than 8 hours, it's suspected to produce adverse health effects in persons at risk. So if you're at all at risk, you like our client that was having neurological damage or neurological issues, she was at risk, right? So it wouldn't take as much. And, you know, we live in Nevada County, and the majority of you guys that are listening to us live in Nevada County. We're an older population up here. We're, you know, if you're over 50, yeah. If you're over 50, you're at risk. I'm sorry. I'm 50. I'll be 56 this year. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm over 55. I can go to those RV parks that are 55 or over, right?
I had to.
Yeah. I'm a proud AARP member, right? But in any event, you got to take those things into account. And with that, so sorry to, you know, we just really wanted, this is kind of a PSA, but it's also, you know, a marketing thing for us as well. You know, give us a call. We'll come out and take a look at this for you. If you don't want to use us, there are other companies that do this, but make sure that if you do get an HVAC technician out there, make sure, ask them pointedly, are you going to check the heat exchanger for a break? Are you going to check for carbon monoxide? Make sure they do that, because I know a lot of companies don't necessarily do that. They just do a cursory look at the filter, see how old the system is. If it's over 20 years old, they're going to recommend a new one. We don't do that.
If they say they don't do that, or you know that's not part of their thing, or it's newer and it should be fine, call another company.
Yeah, definitely. So with that, if you do need HVAC help, plumbing, electrical help, you can give us a call at 530-270-230. You do it. Are you muted? 530. I can't remember our phone number now. 230-9092. 530-230-9092. Well, you told me not, I was doing it wrong, but anyway, I don't know what I did wrong. She's mouthing stuff. Anyway, you can call us on that, or you can find us on the web at easyasabt.com or abtplumbing.com. Find us on Facebook. Please like our page. We share all this stuff, most of our stuff on Facebook and social media, on YouTube and on Instagram is just informational and entertaining. It's not trying to sell you stuff. So like us, like our pages. And with that, we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.